work in Krishna consciousness. All activities are abominable because they continually bind the worker to the cycle of birth and death. One should, therefore, never desire to be the cause of work. Everything should be done in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of Krishna. Misers do not know how to utilize the assets of riches which they acquire by good fortune or by hard labor. One should spend all energies working in Krishna consciousness, and that will make one's life successful. Like misers, unfortunate persons do not employ their human energy in the service of the Lord. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Jananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. O Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. We are reading this evening from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita as it is, text number 49. Herein, Krishna is revealing the most sublime process by which we can be free from those materialistic activities that further create entanglement and bondage in our life. Especially in this age of Kali Yuga, the power of Maya is so great, and the capacity of human beings to withstand from engaging in materialistic and sinful activities is so small that actually none of us have a chance. Krishna explains in Gita that Maya appears through the three modes of material nature: Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. The modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Guna is sometimes translated as rope. The material energy uses these gunas like ropes to keep us tied, entangled, captive to the prison house of material existence. Durga literally means prison. We are all imprisoned within this material existence. And it is these three gunas, these three ropes, that keep us in captivity. In a prison house, everyone aspires to be free. Because when you are free, then you can resume the real relationships with the people that you really want to be with. Nobody is satisfied amongst other prisoners, because everyone has come there because they have exploited one another, and they remain there because they want to exploit one another. And these ropes of the three modes of material nature, they are so strong, and we are so weak that we have no power to escape. So Krishna explains in Gita, Daivi hesha guna mayi mama maya duratyaya mam evam ye prapadyante mayam etad tarantite. That yes, this material nature consisting of three modes is very strong. But one who surrenders to me with devotion can easily be freed from them. And herein Krishna explains that one must keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. And when Krishna is speaking of abominable activities, it is different than our conception of abominable activities in the material sense of the word. Generally, we consider activities in the mode of ignorance are abominable. Material activities in the mode of passion, sometimes they're a little abominable. Murder, thieving, raping, exploiting, lying, these things are considered in the moral sense to be abominable. So Krishna is explaining that all activities which keep us bound to the three modes, they are all abominable. Even so-called good activities, being nice to one another, not lying, giving in charity, that is also, from the spiritual point of view, from Krishna's point of view, abominable. Because it is further entangling us in the ropes of sattva-guna. Of course, we must come to the platform of sattva-guna. But then we are meant to transcend it. So Krishna is explaining here that one must keep oneself distant from all materialistic abominable activities by being constantly engaged in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada would often explain that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. That if one's mind is not active in devotional activities, then it will be immersed in the activities under the direction of Maya or illusory energy. This is because our constitutional nature is we are servants. Our choice is whether we want to be servant of illusion or servant of truth, servant of God. But in all sense, we remain servant. In this material existence, under illusion, we want to become master. We want to become enjoyer. And thus, due to this inclination, we serve illusion. The father, the husband, thinks himself to be the master of his family. But actually, he is the servant of the family. And when we come to the platform of all our relationships, we are servants. We are serving our senses. We are serving the dictations of others. But the relationships of service in this illusory existence can never satisfy us, because they are not real. They are temporary. And not only that, but they are illusory. Just like when you look in the mirror, or when so many people look in the mirror together, it appears that there is myself, or there is my friends or family members. But actually, all we're looking at is glass. And that glass appears to be your body. And it appears to be your family's bodies. Or in a photograph, sometimes we take a family portrait, and there we are with our mother and father and our children and our brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces and uncles and aunts. And we're seeing, there we are, all together. But in truth, we're just looking at a piece of paper. A piece of paper with some chemicals on it. And we're thinking, this is my family. Or we're looking in mirror and we're thinking, this is our family. Or sometimes we're sitting next to each other looking at our bodies and we think, this is me and this is my family. They are all various extensions of the same illusion. And relationships based on the premise of illusion can bring no truth, fulfillment in life. Real service must be without expectation of remuneration. A master and a servant, they will work together as long as the servant is paid. You would not work for your employer if he did not pay you. Your servants would not live in the house with you unless you gave them something in return. Some money or some food or some clothing or some shelter. Therefore, this is not real service. This is service of illusion. It is based on selfish, exploitative premise. And similarly, in this world, friends, we may be very dear friends with one another, but if the friends disagree, they never want to see each other again. How many friends have we had in our life, but when there's a difference of purpose or a difference of agreement, they are not our friends anymore? Even the relationships of father, son, mother, daughter, lover and beloved. There is so much expectation for ourselves. Therefore, this is all service to illusion, to Maya. They are all perverted reflections of the real, eternal service that we are meant to be engaged in with our eternal relationship with the Supreme Reality, or with Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. We are all meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. And how Krishna exchanges love with his devotees is the most wonderful subject in all of creation. We can go to the universities and to the colleges, and we can learn about how to serve for our own exploitative reasons. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains the highest subject of the unmotivated loving service between the Lord and his devotees. When Vamanadeva approached Bali Maharaj, Vamanadeva asked, please give me 3 steps of land. As much as my feet can cover with 3 steps, I wish to obtain that much property from you. And Bali Maharaj replied that while you are asking for such a small thing from such a big person like me, I have conquered the universe. I can give you anything. But Vamana said, I am satisfied with only 3 steps. And then he expanded his form, and with 2 steps, he covered the entire universe. And then he said to Bali, where shall I put my 3rd step? And Bali said, I have nothing left. I'm akinchanam. I'm poverty stricken. Just a few seconds ago, Bali Maharaj was the proprietor of all the planets up to Indraloka. And within a matter of seconds, he had nothing. And no one. This is how the Lord works. In due course of time, he will perform the same activity in his own way for all of us. Perhaps at death, or perhaps before, he takes everything away. There's nothing left of all we've done, and we have no power to protect ourselves. Bali Maharaj had such formidable armies, and he himself was endowed with such mystic powers that no one in the universe, including the great demigods, dared to challenge him. Now, for all of us, even the slightest provocation by the demigods, and we are helpless. They send a little earthquake, or a storm, or a flood, and we're helpless, whoever we may be, however great. What is our position? We are so insignificant. But Bali Maharaj conquered every one of those demigods. This was his power. But within two steps, the Lord took everything away. And for us, it doesn't even take hardly one step, and the Lord will take everything away. So, Vamanadeva asked Bali, "Where should I put my third step?" And Bali said, "I have nothing left except my life. My head. Place your foot on my head. I surrender to you." And Vamanadeva placed his beautiful lotus foot on Bali's head. And for this reason, Bali Maharaj became glorious for all time to come. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna, in the form of Vaman, he said to Bali, "Now I have taken everything of yours. I have taken all your land. I have taken all of your influences, all of the people who were at one time serving you so nicely. I've taken your very life. Now ask something. I want to give you something in return." And Bali said, "No, my Lord, I don't want anything in return. I am yours. Everything is yours. At your disposal." This is love. When Krishna took the two steps and stole everything from Bali, that was not love on Bali's part. He was helpless. He offered it in a mode of charity. But in the end, when he accepted, "My Lord, it is all yours. I accept that it is all yours. Now take it all and take my life as well." That was love. And although he expected nothing in return, Krishna agreed by his own free will that, "Bali Maharaj, I will be your doorkeeper. I will be your servant. I will protect you and carry out all of your instructions." Srila Rupa Goswami explains that if you surrender to Krishna, never think that you'll be the loser. Even if you give the best you have to Krishna, never think that you will lose, but you will gain infinitely more than you can ever give. That is Krishna's nature. But to make sure our giving is based on faith and surrender and love, sometimes Krishna gives you nothing tangibly to be seen in return for some time. Because if we expect something great, then that is not love, that is business. Bali Maharaj came from a great dynasty. He was the grandson of Prahlad. And after Narasimhadev put Prahlad on the throne, actually before putting him on the throne, Prahlad was just 5 years old. And after his father had been killed just to protect Prahlad, Lord Narasimha said, "Please, you have endured so much for me. You have been put through so many torturous conditions that no child, no anyone could withstand the conditions you were put in. But you gratefully accepted them in my service. I am obliged to you. I want to fulfill any of your desires. Please ask for anything. Health, wealth, power, liberation, promotion to Vaikuntha, anything." Prahlad said, "No, my lord. I have not given you my life with some mercantile motivation of receiving something in return. I have done it simply for your pleasure, simply because I love you." That was his expectation. But while Prahlad was being put through the pits of serpents, fed poisons, thrown off mountains, drowned in the sea, stabbed by the tridents of Rakshasas, while all this was happening and Prahlad was gratefully just giving his life, there was no visual appearance that the Lord was giving him anything in return. Because if he gave anything to him in return, what could be seen by our eyes at the beginning, we would never have understood the glory of his selfless, unmotivated love. But in the end, without Prahlad asking, he gave him the king, the throne of the King of the Heavens. He gave him eternal fame. And most of all, he gave him eternal love, prema bhakti. So in the same way, we should know, as the Lord had dealt with Bali and Prahlad, Krishna will give us the greatest treasure of himself, but not immediately. First, he wants to test, to see whether we are willing to go on with our servants simply for his pleasure, simply for his enjoyment. That is the test of our sincerity and our love. And we should not expect anything but his mercy in whatever way he wants to bestow his mercy. Ashlishyava padratam panashtumam adharshana marmahatam karotuva yathatata vidatatu matto matprananatastu se eva napara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed in this way. "My Lord, if you like, you can embrace me. Or if you like, you can trample upon me, or even make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You have a right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am yours." I am your servant unconditionally. So when we are engaging in the practice of bhakti, and it appears that there is no visual results, even if we go on for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years our whole life. We should not be discouraged. We should be encouraged. We should have proper faith that we are, if we are properly serving the order of Krishna, if we are properly situated in chanting His name and utilizing our God-given energies in His loving service, that Krishna, who is within and without, is witnessing everything. When we engage in the loving service of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji, not only is the Paramatma, the Super Soul in our heart, seeing our service, but also Radha and Krishna of Goloka Vrindavan, they are taking note of all of our devotional activities. And certainly, they could give us pure love instantly, immediately, if they so desire. But why are they not? Why? Even though I'm engaging in devotional activities, still I have to struggle with my mind and senses. Why don't they just liberate me from the mind and senses today? Why? This is not according to my expectations. And why? Why still people are misusing me, misjudging me in so many ways? And why I still have so many economic problems trying to maintain my family or the temple? Krishna's arranging like this because He wants to give us a chance to understand the principle of real love, of real devotion. To be willing to let Krishna take everything away and do whatever He likes with us and continue in His service for His pleasure. When we learn the lesson to the core of our hearts, then Krishna reveals Himself to us. And that is the supreme treasure. And as soon as we begin the path of devotional service, Krishna decides that I will be giving this devotee the greatest treasure of all treasures, Myself. I will become the servant of my devotee in reciprocation of love. But until that devotee becomes truly pure and truly detached from the fruits of his actions, we must be detached not only from our worldly actions, but we must be detached even from our actions in devotional service. What does detached mean? It means we're attached to making Krishna happy. We're attached to making His devotees happy and to Gurudev happy. But we are not at all attached to what results we claim in the end. And when we have that detachment, then our devotion becomes pure. And then, we should know with great faith that we will have Krishna. And ultimately, everything in this world is a waste if it is not bringing us closer to Krishna. Dharma shvanushtata pungsham naratutayopakalpate. Bhagavatam explains any occupation, any activities or endeavors that do not bring one to an increasing attraction to Krishna, his names, his qualities, his pastimes, his devotees. They are all to be considered a waste of human life. So we must put Krishna in the center of all of our activities. And with great patience and with great faith, we must continue. We are chanting the holy names. And what should we be expecting by chanting? Simply by doing it so sincerely, we will please Krishna. We will please Guru Maharaj and the previous acharyas. And by pleasing them, that is all we want. If we chant for 10, 1500 years, all we have to know is that we are pleasing Krishna. And we are pleasing Krishna if we are doing it sincerely, performing our service sincerely, under divine guidance. And we should know that when Krishna so desires to reveal himself, however Krishna so desires to reveal himself, that is the perfection of my life. So we must remain always busy in Krishna conscious activities. There are 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord, and the association of the Lord's devotees. Through this, we can always be 24 hours a day connected to Krishna. And then all the abominable activities, all of the ropes of goodness, passion, and ignorance remain distant. But as soon as we slacken from our spiritual consciousness and our spiritual activities, the ropes of nature immediately begin to entangle us and bind us once again. Krishna explains in Gita that at the very beginning we must curb this sinful enemy, the symbol of sin, kama, material desire. How? By protecting our soul on all sides, by protecting our senses through a mind that is always directed by the intelligence of Krishna's words, Krishna's instructions. And then spiritual life becomes something wonderful, joyful, sublime. Krishna ends this verse by saying, Kripana palahetava. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. Kripana. This is a world of misers. And if we associate with misers, we become miserly. But if we associate with sincere devotees who are giving of themselves for the benefit of others, for the pleasure of Krishna, then we become pure. We become influenced by their association to become nice devotees. And that is the aim, the fulfillment of all of our relationships in this world, to come closer to Krishna. We were discussing today how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day he called all of his devotees together and he said, that let us all clean the temple. He was especially describing the temple of Srivas in Mayapur Dham. And they all got brooms and cloths and shovels to sweep up to collect the dust. And they all began to sweep Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Srivas, Haridas, Murari. So many devotees. Many of them were very worshipable persons. Advaita Acharya was considered the most highly esteemed of all Brahmins. He was the leader amongst all the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. And Haridas, wherever he went, fortunate people would fall in prostrated obeisances at his lotus feet. Haridas is Lord Brahma, the father of all of us, and the supreme being in this universe. Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, the creator of all universes. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram himself, the original spiritual master of all spiritual masters. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the original personality of Godhead, the source of all incarnations, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the supreme enjoyer of Vrindavan Leela. He is Radha and Krishna, whose portions and partial portions appear as Narayan, Vaikunthanath, Ram, Narasingha. And yet all of these most exalted and great personalities, including Srivas, who is the avatar of Narada Rishi, the guru of Prahlad and Dhruva, and so many others. But yet, they were all blissful, joyful, on their hands and knees, sweeping the dust of the temple together. This is the glory of devotional service. Even the most menial of all forms of devotional service is the source of the greatest bliss for the greatest personalities. There is no too high or too low. If someone asks us, sweep the floor. I've been a devotee for 20 years. How can you ask me to sweep the floor? You can ask me to give lecture to thousands of people. That's all right. Or you can ask me to give you blessings. That's all right. Or you can bring me some Mahaprasad, that's all right. I will perform the service of accepting it on Krishna's behalf. But not sweep the floor. Anyone can sweep the floor. We can hire a worker to sweep the floor. I have not been chanting 16 rounds for so many years to sweep floor. This is Maya, stealing away our intelligence. When Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Radharani herself, they enjoy, they take pleasure in sweeping the floor for Krishna. In the mood of devotees. And how much joy and pleasure they have sweeping the floor together. Because when the floor is very nice, then when they begin to dance and chant, it becomes so nice. So we should know that all of our activities in devotional service is just to cleanse the temple of our heart so that when we come before the holy name, Krishna is pleased to hear our chanting of this holy name. That is all we want. That Krishna is pleased by the quality in which we come together to chant his name. And he will give us everything if we simply come to that level of consciousness. Thank you very much.